One of my favorite passages is in Luke 12, the parable of the rich fool. Do we still need to be concerned about the size of our barns today? Hi, I'm Rob West. Actually, yes. Not many of us have barns these days, so we'll just use barns as a metaphor. Jesus' message in that parable is every bit as important for us today. I'll talk about that first, then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so let's look at the first part of the parable, Luke 12, 16 through 19. That's where Jesus says, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Now, a lot of people might read that and think, hey, that sounds like a solid, practical solution. You've got too much stuff coming in, your barns aren't big enough, you need bigger barns. What's wrong with that? Well, the rich man finds out what's wrong in the next two verses. They read, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" If that theme sounds familiar to you, there's a good reason. Charles Dickens no doubt borrowed it when he wrote A Christmas Carol. Of course, there, Ebenezer Scrooge takes on the role of the rich fool, obsessed with money and possessions. But unlike the rich fool, old Ebenezer gets a second chance, and so do we. Our second chance starts with understanding what rich toward God means. It's an unusual phrase, and God's word doesn't elaborate on it, but we can get an idea of its meaning by contrast. It's the opposite of building bigger barns or laying up earthly treasure for yourself. Being rich toward God is acknowledging that we're made for Him, not our own pleasure or possessions, that our abundance is in God, not our bank accounts. Rich toward God means counting Him as greater riches than anything on earth. And it means using earthly riches to show how much we value God. How do we do that? By giving generously to His kingdom. Had the rich fool done that, he might have heard these words from Matthew 25, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." But the rich fool did none of that. He thought only of himself, and when he died, he left his earthly treasure behind. Now, Jesus is not saying that our works save us, but he is saying our actions are evidence of our faith. This isn't about earning salvation, but showing how our faith should be lived out. Jesus is teaching that money and possessions are dangerous because they can lure us out of love for God and keep us from treasuring Him. Because of that, some might think that money is bad, but it's not. It's really a powerful tool that can be used for good or bad. While the proper use of money can store up treasures in heaven for you, the improper use of money can be hazardous to your spiritual health, as it was in the case of the rich fool. The problem wasn't that he became rich. The rich are no less godly than the poor. The problem was that the rich fool ceased to view God as his supreme treasure. If God had been his treasure, what would he have done differently? Well, instead of saying, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years, relax, eat, drink, and be merry," he might have said something like this, "God, this is all yours. You have made my fields prosper. Show me how to express with my riches that you are my treasure and that riches are not. I already have enough. I don't need more luxury and leisure." Then he might have gone on to say, "I do indeed want to make merry, but not with self-indulgent peers. I want to share your blessings and make merry with the people who have been helped by my generosity. I want the fullest blessing of giving while giving all glory to you." Had he said that, the rich man wouldn't have been a fool at all. He would have been a very wise man who was rich toward God. He would have discovered that, as Jesus is quoted in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The rich fool learned that the hard way. But we don't have to. We can learn from his mistake and strive to be rich toward God. I hope that's an encouragement to you. All right, your calls are next at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR. We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, we'd love to take your calls and questions today on anything financial as you think about your role as a steward in managing God's money. I know along the way, as I do, there are questions that come up, things you're wrestling with. You want a sounding board, and you always want to look at each issue through the lens of God's Word. Because as we live out a biblical worldview, it includes every domain of our life, and that certainly includes our money management. So what questions do you have today? You can call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today, and we'd love to tackle whatever is on your mind. All right, let's begin in Arkansas today. Jonathan, you'll be first up. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, sir. I've got a question. I'm trying to figure out, I need to get myself back on track. I feel like I've got a grief. My grief is compounded. I'm a bivocational pastor. I'm trying to lead and to guide the congregation that God has entrusted me with in the most godly way that I can. And I, of course, I receive an income from them. I work a full-time job. I'm a government employee, so I've got a pretty substantial income there. My wife also works. Between the two of us, with all three incomes, we're well into the six-figure income. However, we have gotten ourselves into a situation between payments and things of that nature that we can't give the way that we need to be giving, nor the way that I want to be giving. I do see some relief in the near future with after the first of the year as a government employee. I'll be getting a raise, a cost of living allowance, and then right around the end of February, first part of March, I will be getting a step increase. So my salary range, I'm looking at close to about a $7,000 to $8,000 salary increase within the next 4 to 5 months, and also my truck will be paid off in March. That will be the last payment on my truck, so I will have some income that's going to be getting freed up. But like I said, I feel like I've just gotten my, like most Americans, I've just gotten myself so strapped underneath all these payments and these things. That I feel like I can't give like I want to give. My heart wants to give, and I just feel like I can't, because when the paychecks hit, everything is gone to make payments and try to catch up with things. I don't know. I'm just kind of at a loss.
Well, I think what you're sensing here, Jonathan, is the starting point, because unless there's some tension there kind of in your own heart and mind, you're not going to do anything about it. And lifestyle creep is the biggest barrier to accomplishing any of our longer term goals, whether that's giving more, saving more, reducing debt, whatever it is. And so we've just got to fight against that, because there's this, you've got inflation that was it's been challenging because now everything's more expensive. But on top of that, as you get these increases, your level of spending will always rise to your level of income unless you protest to the contrary. And, that's something you and your wife need to have a united front on. Have you all had these conversations, and is she sensing the same thing?
Yes, she is. And like I said, it just seems to, we've got two teenagers in the house.
Yeah.
And it's tough because, the teenagers, they want to do things. We've got one that's driving. And luckily, his twin sister has not taken an urge to start driving. She's okay with just letting him drive her around. Which is great, because there that added that extra burden of two vehicles, two gas bills, two insurance, all that stuff is not there. It's just one. But yeah, she does share the same frustration and conviction that I do. But like I said, for me, it's a more compounded, because I'm a bivocational pastor, and I almost feel like I'm being hypocritical, because I'm standing here as this person over my, with the congregation God's given me, and I feel an extra burden of grief, because I'm like, Jonathan, you're fake, and that's what I feel in my spirit. I feel fake, but at the same time, I have the desire, because this is what I want to do. But I just, I kind of feel like Paul. The very thing that I want to do, I don't do. The very thing that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And I wrestle with that daily. I've got my giving and everything, my saving and everything set through my TSP, and my wife has got hers set through her retirement. And that's kind of, my mind, that's my beginning point, is to say, okay, match what am I putting into my TSP? That's what I need to match what goes into the offering plate. You know, whatever she's matching into her retirement, she needs to get hers to a 10% and then match whatever she's putting in, but I know it's going to take some sacrifices, but with inflation and cost of everything, I mean, insurance, my insurance has gone up over the last year and a half. My insurance has gone up, about $100 a month, with no accidents or anything, our cell phone. I mean, you get four phones on a cell phone bill, you're looking at $400 a month. I mean, it's just, and I know a lot of people listening to this are thinking, hey, I feel the same pain he does, because it's real,
Well, here's the reality is, I think you're headed down the right in the right direction here. And I think we have to recognize that, you know, we're all, you know, everybody's listening to you and nodding their heads and saying, yeah, I feel like Paul as well. The things I know I should do, I don't. Things I should, you know. And so as we look at this, I think the first step is to step back and do what you're doing. And this is a great time of year to do it, Jonathan, for you and your wife to maybe pull away over the Christmas break and, you know, spend a few hours just, first of all, in prayer, just asking the Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to see what we need to see. Help us to have the fortitude and the endurance to make the hard decisions. And then you need to start to define your values, because before you get to financial decisions and even before you get to goals are your values as a Christ follower. And you're already talking about some of them. What's most, you know, what's important to us? Well, it's important to us to make memories with our kids. It's important to us to provide for them. It's important to us to live simply. It's really important to us to be able to give generously as I lead a congregation. And so as you begin to identify those, then those translate into goals, and then the goals translate into a spending plan, because ultimately your lifestyle spending, your monthly discretionary spending beyond just the things that are locked in, like the truck payment that's going away and the mortgage and the utilities, it's that discretionary spending that's going to get in the way. And that's where you and she need to have some hard conversations to say, listen, if our money management tells a story about what's most important to us and we don't like the story it's telling, we've got to do something about it. And that may mean you get the kids involved and sit them down once you come up with the budget and say, listen, guys, we love you all, but one of the things we want to show you is that there's limited resources and we've got to live on a plan. And let me talk to you about why we think it's so important that we can give generously. And here's what that means. We're going to dial back and we're all going to make some sacrifices. But I think you've got to get to the place where the values are defined, the goals are defined, and then that translates into a spending plan that actually reflects that. Listen, it's not going to work perfectly every month. But you got to get to the place where you have a plan that works. You know, as you said, income's going up. We got to fight not to increase lifestyle when that happens. The truck payment's going away. Great. What if that truck payment was redirected immediately into additional giving? I love that you are, you know, saving for the future. That's great. Taking advantage of the match. But then once you have that spending plan in place, we've got to have a system that controls the flow of money in and out. That's why we created the FaithFi app. That could be a tool. Doesn't matter which one you use, but you and your wife need probably a weekly money date to sit down and not point fingers, but to say, how did we do this week? And what course corrections do we need to make? And are we off plan with any of our envelopes? And how do we get back on track? Let me do this. I want to give you 6 months of a pro subscription to the FaithFi app. That might be a tool in this, but hopefully this will get you pointed in the right direction. Hang on the line. We'll be right back.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, a prominent neurosurgeon describes the link between what's visible in our brains and how we can shape our response to grief and trauma.
In real time, Jeff, you can see the brain change and improve its function in response to what people think about.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to AFAFoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I had a chance to visit with Jonathan a bit more during the break, and, you know, he was just expressing this somewhat frustration. It says, you know, my wife and I are both spenders, and we know that. And so we don't like to say no, and we definitely don't like to say no to each other. And that creates challenges. And even though we're grateful that God's provided a great income, I mean, as he mentioned, they make six figures between the three jobs, bivocational pastor, government worker, and his wife's employer. We just don't feel like we're ever getting ahead. We feel like we're living right up to the edge. We've got two kids, and I know what that's like. I've got one in college, three teenagers, and boy, the expenses just don't ever stop. We were signing up for spring break mission trips last night, and the deposits were flying out the door. I mean, listen, I get it. And, you know, now it's more expensive than ever. It's just challenging, and it takes, as I said, an understanding of the why, because the longer term your perspective, the better your decision, the better decision you're going to make today. And the reality is, if you're going to sacrifice in the short term, you need to know the long term why or when. You know, what am I ultimately driving toward that's going to cause me to want to say no right now, because I know there's something far bigger and greater I want to do, such as what he presented with, which was, I want to be able to give more. I want to be able to stand before the, you know, the church that I pastor and say, listen, we need to be generous people, and I'm going to go first, and I'm going to lead with my life and my spending, and, you know, I'm going to rein it in, and I'm going to say no when I, you know, want to say yes, and I'm going to get the kids involved and let them know and teach them along the way that it's important to be generous. And you know what? From time to time, we have to make decisions to give up things and sacrifice and not do the things we want to do because there's limited resources. And that's just what stewards do. You make hard decisions, but there's joy in that because you're ultimately able to accomplish God's purposes. And I think the key point he brought up there too, when we were off the air, was, you know, I recognize my wife and I are both spenders. Now, it's one thing if one's a spender, one's a saver. Usually that's the way it works out. And you kind of have the push and pull. And I think it's a good thing to have both, because one kind of can push the other to say, hey, let's enjoy what God's given us and make memories and take a trip every now and then. And the other's, you know, pulling back saying, hey, let's be sure we're saving and let's not get ahead of ourselves. And that tension is a good thing. If there's open communication and understanding of each other's temperaments and wiring, that's not bad. But in his case, we've got two that have their foot on the gas pedal. They're both spenders. So, wow, we got to really be careful there. And I think once you understand that, then they can work together to say, okay, when you're feeling the need to say yes, I'm going to have to be the one to say no, and vice versa, because we've got to find a governor here in the relationship, and we're going to have to work together, and you keep me accountable, I'll keep you accountable. But again, we've got to know the why, and so then we let that form the goals, and then that has to translate into a spending plan. But it's not enough to stop there and stick that plan in the drawer. Then we need the fourth step, and that is to get a system to control the flow of money in and out. Again, that's why we developed the FaithFi app, and we've got some new features coming in the new year. So this is a great time to download it at faithfi.com. Get your budget set up. Use the envelope system. you and your wife could have a weekly money date, see where you're at in each of the envelopes, make decisions, make course corrections. We're introducing next year daily, weekly, and monthly rhythms if you want them. So you get a check-in where you can say, okay, what happened this week and what changes do we need to make? The check-in, the weekly check-in will be a great tool if you want to sit down with your spouse for a weekly money date. Or maybe you just do it once a month, and that's where our monthly recap can be a great tool to see in the app, okay, what happened over this month? And eventually we'll be able to bring in suggestions for you based on what happened during the month that are intelligent to what you're dealing with. You'll be able to record things like, you know, what you're grateful for. There'll be a gratitude journal in there that you can begin to kind of chronicle the things that God is doing in your life as He provides. We want to bridge the spiritual and your faith journey with the daily decisions you're making in your financial life. So you've got the spending and saving and giving on one side. You've got the spiritual journey on the other, but those don't need to be disconnected. We want to bridge them together. That's what the FaithFi app does. If you want to check it out, again, the recaps and the check-ins are coming next year early, but you can go ahead and get your budget set up now. Just go to faithfi.com, click app, or you can download it from your app store. But boy, what a great conversation with Jonathan. Here's what we're going to do for him. We're going to give him 6 months of a pro subscription of the FaithFi app, and we're going to connect him to a certified Christian financial counselor. We're going to cover the cost of that just as a gift to Jonathan. But what that will do is he is asking for some accountability for he and his wife. And I think having somebody, a third party who, you know, just loves helping God's people be a wise steward to help them put that budget together, that budget for 2025, give them some accountability and some other insights into how they can cut back, perhaps is going to get them pointed in the right direction. But let's be praying for Jonathan and his bride. All right, we're taking your calls and questions here today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Let me mention, coming up a little later in the broadcast, Walker Wildman is going to stop by. He's going to talk about some anti-religious corporate matching programs that are going on out there that he's identified. And we'll give you an update on that straight ahead. But in the meantime, taking your calls and questions, let's head back to the phones. We're going to go to Florida and welcome Ann to the broadcast. Hi there.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My first question is, if you are a recipient of a transfer instant to a divorce and you receive funds of a traditional IRA, would the person be required to submit a Form 8606?
Yeah, so the purpose of that form, and I'm not a CPA, so this is going to be a good question for you to connect with a CPA on. But typically, you would do that when you had a non-deductible contribution to a traditional IRA, or if you took a distribution and you have what's called a basis in your IRA from that non-deductible contribution, or maybe you have a converted amount from a traditional to a Roth. Those would be some of the reasons. So what I would probably do is connect with your CPA on that, because that's going to get a little beyond what we're able to cover here on the radio, because it's really going to have to do with your specifics. If you don't have a CPA, Ann, just go to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional, and you can find one that shares your values. God bless you. Thanks for calling. Merry Christmas. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Financial fear is real, but so is God's promise to provide. At FaithFi, we know the daily stress of money can overwhelm your heart, but Jesus reminds us to look at the birds of the air. In Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional, you'll find peace by focusing on God's faithfulness as you discover how to overcome financial anxiety with faith. Request a copy of the Look at the Sparrows devotional today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Boy, Christmas is just around the corner. Isn't it hard to believe? What a great season to celebrate Jesus and his gift to us coming, that he would be born as a baby, take on flesh, be 100% man and 100% God, to walk with us, to live that sinless life, and ultimately to pay the penalty for our sin on the cross. When we surrender our lives to him, boy, that is our ultimate treasure. He did what we could not do, and we're now, as accepting that free gift, reconciled to the Father. That's what we celebrate this time of year, the birth of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We're so thankful for those of you listening today. And if you have a question in your financial life, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. Hey, just a quick family meeting here. If you're a regular Faith and Finance listener, we're just headed quickly toward our year-end goal, our matching goal of $150,000 that's going to be matched on December 31st with whatever comes in. We're not there yet. Good news is a lot has already come in. So out of that $150,000, we've already seen about $78,000 come in. So we're a little more than halfway there, $72,000 remaining, but only 10 days left in the year. Now, this is a big 10 days for us. A lot of folks will be sending checks in and jumping on board with us, but we want to take full advantage of this match. So if you've benefited from the program, maybe you consider yourself part of our regular listener crew here at Faith and Finance, and you've not ever thought about supporting the ministry and not for profit listener supported ministry, I just invite you to do that right now. Would you give a gift of any size? Ask the Lord to lay on your heart what you could do, and then respond. Gifts of $50 or $100 help, gifts of $1,000 and $5,000 help. And when we put them all together, it helps us reach our goal. But again, that great opportunity is we've got some donors that have said, whatever that balance is at 12/31, we're going to double it. And that'll be a huge blessing to us in the new year as we launch a lot of the new things we've been working on, including our brand new, beautiful 52-page publication. It's called Faithful Steward. It'll come out quarterly, and boy, I can't wait for you to get your hands on it. It's full of articles and beautiful illustrations, but just really practical things like, how do you help your kids be more generous? How do you set a financial finish line? We've got a feature article in the first issue on Zacchaeus and his financial testimony. We've got a great article from John Reinhardt on how do you succeed financially without failing spiritually. We have a great article that I've written on the implications of being a steward and understanding that God owns it all. What does that mean in the daily rhythms of your life? Well, I unpack that and so much more. Ron Blue answers the question in the first issue. What if my non-Christian spouse doesn't want to give to the church and I do? What do I do about that? We tackle that in this issue. And every quarter, we're going to tee up articles just like that. That's the kind of thing we're working on here at FaithFi. And so your support goes a long way to helping us do all of that. So how do you get on board? Well, it's simple. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. And if you could do that today, that'd be a blessing. Faithfi.com and click give. All right, we're going to be taking more of your calls and questions here in just a moment. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You know, as we think about just being a steward of God's money, I mentioned the implications of that. You know, the foundation of biblical money management is the understanding that God owns everything. Psalm 24:1 is very clear. Listen to this from God's word. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. And in 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul reminds us that all we have is a gift from God. And while it's fairly easy to just acknowledge this truth from a head knowledge standpoint, living it out requires a shift in how we view money and possessions. Because here's the reality. God is not a consultant or a silent partner. He's the owner. And our role is to act as stewards, entrusted to manage what God has given us for his purposes. Well, the Greek word for steward, I've mentioned this on this program before, oikonomos, it means household manager. So just as a household manager oversees a home on behalf of the owner, we manage God's resources. We own nothing. We're responsible for everything under our care. And this extends beyond finances to our time and our talents and our relationships and more. Everything we have is God's, and we have to manage it wisely with the goal of glorifying him in all we do. And acknowledging these truths, I think, means embracing certain responsibilities, such as this idea that, number one, stewards are accountable. Here's what Romans 14:12 tells us. It says that each of us will give an account to God for how we manage his resources. Did we use them to advance his kingdom, to care for others, to reflect his character, or did we waste them on selfish pursuits? Now, that doesn't mean that everything we spend money on, God's money, for our enjoyment is bad. No, it's clear in 1 Timothy, part of why God entrusts to us what he does is so we can enjoy it, and we're to provide. And so that's not a bad thing, as long as it's done under his lordship and in prayer with careful consideration to our values and our priorities. I think a second implication is that stewards live with an eternal perspective. Instead of focusing on temporal wealth, stewards invest in things with eternal significance. Listen to Matthew 6:19 to 21. Jesus instructs us to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, earthly wealth is fleeting, but how we use it can have an eternal impact. As Randy Alcorn, my friend, the author, writes in The Treasure Principle, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And I think that's a great truth we need to keep in mind. You know, another one is that stewards are faithful in small things. Luke 16:10, Jesus teaches, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. You see, faithful stewards manage even the smallest resources with care, knowing that God sees and rewards our faithfulness. I would say stewards also hold loosely and give generously. You know, when we recognize that everything belongs to God, it becomes easier to hold our possessions with an open hand. A steward gives generously, knowing that what we offer is already God's. And in doing so, we reflect God's generosity and trust him to provide for our needs. You know what another thing is? Stewards don't take credit. In Luke 12:13-21, Jesus tells, we talk about this often, this parable of a man who hoards wealth, focusing on his possessions instead of being rich toward God. The man takes full credit for his success, failing to acknowledge God's provision in his life. I think in that passage, if I remember correctly, he says either I or my like nine times in this very short account. Well, in contrast, good stewards recognize that everything they have comes from God and give him the credit for any success. You remember, it says in God's words that even the power to create wealth comes from God alone. another one is that stewards have responsibilities, not rights. You see, as stewards, we manage God's resources according to his will, not our own desires. We don't have ownership rights over what we manage. We're responsible for using it faithfully. And this means making hard decisions based on what pleases God, not what benefits us personally. So let me wrap up in this line of thinking, and then we'll get back to the phones. By living as faithful stewards, folks, we honor God as the true owner of all we have. And this mindset really transforms how we approach our finances and our lives, leading to greater purpose, responsibility, and joy. And ultimately, how we handle money reflects our commitment to Christ and our trust in him for all things. You know what that means? Every spending decision is a spiritual decision. Now, that shouldn't scare us. We should approach that with joy and thanksgiving and responsibility and faithfulness, commit everything we have to God's glory, using his word as the guide for all truth. We're going to take a break. Walker Wildman here after this break, and then we'll go to Virginia to take another call. We'll be right back.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, here in our final segment, before we wrap up the broadcast today with a few more questions, it's time to talk to our friend Jerry Boyer and Walker Wildman joining him here today as well to talk corporate engagement. Gentlemen, good morning.
Morning, Rob.
Morning. Hey, Rob. Glad to be on.
Thank you. Great to have you both. Well, let's start with you, Jerry. Just give us an update on what's happening here in the markets. Obviously, the Fed talking about fewer rate cuts next year. We've also got new inflation data out. Just give us a broad brush overview of where we find ourselves.
Yeah. So I mentioned last week that the signals were the markets had decided the Fed was going to cut rates this week, but this week, meaning this month also, but probably not next month. The Fed has basically confirmed that. So that's a tighter policy than expected. That's hawkish. Remember, the biggest investor in the world right now is our own Fed. So the markets move not on whether the economy is sound or not or whether the companies are sound, but they move on what our central bank is going to do. And so that was a signal of, you know, taking away the punch bowl. You know, they're not going to spike the punch bowl more. And so markets are generally down for the week. And the NASDAQ, which is more speculative, is down more. Gold was down. Again, that's not spiking the punch bowl anymore. The dollar was up. So it's basically a hawkish trade, and it's largely driven by the Fed. And I just want to stop and just kind of note where we are as a country. It hasn't been that way throughout most of history. It's been that markets trade on the fundamentals of the economy or the fundamentals of business now, or election results. Now markets trade mainly on what the central bank is going to do, and that to me indicates the central bank has far too much power and control.
Yeah. Jerry, obviously, as we get ready to change over to a new administration here with President-elect Trump, a lot more to come in the days ahead with regard to conversations around spending and regulations and perhaps shrinking the U.S. government. And that's all going to relate to debt. That's obviously front and center right now with this looming shutdown. Your thoughts on where we find ourselves there and what that might mean for the economy?
Well, this is a real tightrope, and it's interesting. We call him President-elect Trump, but for all practical purposes, he's President Trump right now.
Yeah.
He's negotiating with Congress. He's who Putin knows he's dealing with. He's who North Korea knows. I mean, the world knows they're dealing with President Trump, and really not with President Biden, who is essentially not functioning as a president in any meaningful way. I'm not trying to take sides politically, but that is the reality. President Trump is acting like a president. He's saying to Congress, you need to cut spending, and that's risking a shutdown. And interest rates are up based on that this week, pretty substantially. So that's a little bit of a default thing. And this is, we talked about this before, this idea of threatening a shutdown, it's powerful. It's a way to try to get Congress to stop spending, but it's also a little dangerous. And if we get a shutdown and if we get a default, that would be harmful. So we're in this situation where once you're this much in debt, you have to do really high risk things in order to get out of that. Once you've made this many bad decisions, you don't really have good decisions available to you. You just have less bad decisions.
Yes.
So the president has to, the president-elect technically has to decide how far is he going to push this. Markets are afraid of a default. And so my concern has always been President Trump is much, much better for growth, but he's the way he negotiates is pretty high risk. And we just want to make sure we don't have a default, because if we have a default, that would really be harmful to the American economy.
Yeah, we'll certainly keep an eye on that. Well, let's pivot to what's happening in the corporate engagement world. Jerry, I know you and Walker have been hard at work on this. Walker, bring us an update. I know you have some thoughts and concerns about what you're seeing related to some corporate matching programs. Give us an update.
Yeah, exactly, Rob. One of the issues that Jerry and I have been looking into is what these corporations, these publicly traded companies, what their charitable matching program is. And what we've noticed is that some companies, and Amgen is one we've actually pointed out, we haven't owned the shares long enough to actually engage with a proposal, but we're going to do that hopefully next year. But some of these companies, like Amgen, they specifically block out charitable contribution matching for religious organizations. So they'll allow company contributions or employee contributions, rather, to be matched by the company up to a certain percentage for all kinds of different charitable organizations. But if you happen to be religious, well, no, we're not going to match that. So that's something we've been looking into. It's very discriminatory. It's borderline illegal against the First Amendment. And it's something we're going to highlight in the months ahead.
Well done, Walker. Jerry, you know, unless somebody calls them out on it, these companies kind of do what they want, but it's a new day, isn't it?
It is. And in many cases, they don't even know what they're doing. So in the negotiations, like one of them is John Deere. So you might have noticed that John Deere had gotten, you know, pretty far to the left on some issues, or, you know, it, kind of anti-religious liberty and into some, you know, pretty weird territory, especially for a company with a very conservative customer base. So AFA is, you know, bringing the pressure to bear on them. Robbie Starbuck, someone who's on Twitter, has a big X following, kind of confronted them. And they changed some things. They stopped doing the human rights campaign. Oh, wait, no, they didn't commit to the dropping out of the human rights campaign. So they kind of held back. They kind of signaled they're moving to neutral, but they didn't do all the things they needed to do. AFA has a proposal with them about this charitable matching. And they kind of didn't know what their policy was. It's fascinating to talk to these companies. They often don't know what their own policy is. And then in a conversation with John Deere and talking to investor relations, the person we were talking to said, well, it seems like it wouldn't be fair if we matched employee grants to churches. Well, you know, a lot of our employees are Catholic, and probably we would give a lot of money to the Catholic Church. And that would be biased. And AFA's position, and Alliance Defending Freedom was involved with this, said, no, it's biased to suppress gifts to the Catholic Church. If you have a lot of employees who are Catholic and they want to give to their church, that's not biased. If you say, sorry, you can't, you can give the American Atheist Association, you can give the ACLU, but you can't give to the Catholic Church, that's bias. And what's fascinating is in that particular case, this guy said, well, I tithe to the Catholic Church. So this is a tithing Roman Catholic who is so kind of, you know, hypnotized by the secular mindset of big companies that he thought it wouldn't be fair if his church got matching grants, even though the Catholic Church is a bona fide 501c3, or a lot of people listening might not be Catholic, a First Baptist church. So what they do is they say, no, you can't give to First Baptist, you can't give to the Roman Catholic Church, you can't give to your mainline denomination, because that would appear biased. And that, of course, is biased, and it's discriminatory, and it's extremely common. Probably a majority of companies do this, and AFA is bringing the pressure to bear there and also with Intel, which has an evangelical Christian CEO who probably doesn't know that they have often the CEO doesn't know that they have policies against matching grants to religious institutions.
Mm. Walker, this is really a new tool in the tool belt as you stand up for Christian values in the marketplace, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And what we're noticing, Rob, is that when people speak out, and there's a pretty large coalition working on this corporate engagement, but what we've noticed is when people speak out, we're making an impact, and a lot of good stuff's being done. And to Jerry's point, a lot of these companies don't really know what their own policies are until we point them out, and then they have to start reading their own policies. And a lot of the time, they have a hard time defending them. So this blocking charitable matching for religious organizations and churches is just patently absurd. And it makes no sense, and they have a hard time defending their own policies. So hopefully, Lord willing, we're going to have to see some of these companies rescind that and make it to where local churches and even ministries like, you know, Faith and Finance and AFA can qualify for some of these charitable matching programs.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, gentlemen, keep up the good work. Can't wait to see what the Lord has in store for 2025. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for stopping by today.
Merry Christmas to
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas.
All right. God bless you. Well, that's Jerry Boyer and Walker Wildman talking corporate engagement. Let's finish today with a phone call. Sabera, thank you for your patience there in Virginia. I have just about a minute and a half left. Okay. Go ahead. Sabera, are you with us? All right. It looks like we have lost her. I'll try one more time to Virginia. Sabera, can you hear me? All right. Well, let me just read her question. She gave this to our producer today. What are the considerations for wealth building? Her daughter is wanting to sell her home and possibly move in with her. Does she invest the money if she sells her home? And apparently her daughter has been on the program in the past. This is a great question. And you know, Sabera, it's all going to come down to what is the purpose of this money in the future. So she's selling a home. I know she's moving in with you, but what is the time frame on that? And is that something that's going to be fairly short term and she eventually wants to go buy another home? If so, then we have a short time frame or time horizon, we call it, on that money. And therefore, we want to stay on the most conservative end of the risk spectrum, because it's at that point not about the return on the money, but the return of the money, because she wants to have it accessible when she needs it. So we'd be thinking CDs, high yield savings accounts, something with FDIC insurance with very low risk that is going to ensure in all likelihood that the money is available when she needs it and she can buy that next house. If she's saying, nope, I don't plan to buy anything soon, I want to take at least a portion of this and look 10 years out, well, now all of a sudden we open up opportunities to invest it. And perhaps just given the size of this money, the amount of it, she could, you know, connect with a certified Kingdom advisor at faithfi.com, or just look for a couple of high quality mutual funds, perhaps one in the faith-based investing space like Timothy or One Ascent or even Tide, one of those. But hopefully that helps you, Sabera. I apologize we didn't get you on today, but wanted to at least tackle your question. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. What a great week this has been. Thank you for listening and for your calls. You're such a blessing to me. And again, I'll just mention here at the end of the year, we're not yet to our year-end goal of listener support. You can help us get there. Would you think about making a gift right now? every gift is doubled until 12/31, December 31st at 11:59 p.m. And we've got about 65,000 to go. Go to faithfi.com and click give. Faithfi.com and click give. Big thanks to my team today, Jim, Taylor, Adam, and we also have Brent and Sandy. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.